You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, hello. I'm John Rabin. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. This is episode 137. Hope everybody's doing all right. I hope you didn't party too hard for the Super Bowl with too many people. You know, for safety. Or I hope you didn't party too hard if you're sober. That's not great. I enjoyed it. I had a very good Super Bowl here at the house. You know what was great for me? It was just incidental. Because I was going to be, I was under the assumption by the start of the halftime show, by the weekend, that's weekend without the extra E, I was told, that I was not going to know any of the songs. This was going to be the first year that the Super Bowl halftime performer was going to play songs that I'd never fucking heard. And I was going to feel my age. Be like, what the? Can't spell weekend. And I was expecting it, you know, but it turns out I knew it. I knew two of the songs. I knew two of them. I knew the one at the end that was the, I don't know the name of it, but I'm like, that's that TikTok song. And I only know that because my wife, I've heard it play off my wife's phone while she's on TikTok, because I am not on TikTok, which, once again, my age. But it was, before the show, she kind of filled me in on all the dirt about the weekend, about, did he have bad plastic surgery or not, or all this other stuff. But no, he said it was performance art, and it had to do with a character on different videos, like filled out and all this unnecessary information. And I'm like, well, okay, that's, I don't give a shit about any of that. But so when that moment happened in the show, and then all the extra dancers came on and their faces are all bandaged up, I got the reference and I felt less old. And that was special. It was special to me to feel that way, that I'm like, I still got it. I recognize at least two of these songs. And I found out later the reason that I recognized his music was by people singing it on The Voice. So I knew songs, but not his version, which is the original, just that glorified karaoke show called The Voice on NBC. Also, what happened, what did I write down about the Super Bowl? That, because I know that a lot of you don't give a fuck about football, and that's fine. But, I mean, this was a big moment, you know, for me. I've been, like, all in about football this whole season. Just a, you know, just as a distraction. Just, I'm going balls out, and I'm just, you know, fantasy football and all that shit. I was just, so this was like big, and I knew that as soon as it was over, that I'm like, all right, I probably need to schedule therapy afterwards to get over the lack of football for the rest of the month or so, or until, like, I don't know. But the thing about it is that the way that professional sports are, is you've got a draft, you've got training camp and all this other stuff. There's things that you can do to distract yourself by really going into just the minuscule detail, like really get into a bunch of just boring shit for everybody else, but you find interesting because it's your hobby now. But the thing, interesting side note, so it's, for some reason we can't get CBS on our TV. Like, we can get NBC and ABC and Fox, but not CBS. So I had to sign up for CBS All Access to watch the game. And I'm sure you read on the news, the fucking CBS All Access crashed during the national anthem. I also had a backup. I had the NFL app on my phone, so I was actually watching the game on my phone for a while before they finally pulled their heads out of their asses. And it's hilarious because they were doing a huge ad campaign about how starting in March, the CBS All Access app is going to turn into Paramount Plus, you guys. Paramount Plus has Comedy Central shows and the MTV shows that we all watch, I'm guessing. And all this, in all the Star Trek bullshit. And they really leaned into advertising that, you know, go, hey, don't forget the Paramount Plus app. But by not having their app work for the kickoff of the fucking Super Bowl, just torpedoed their success. Because I know everybody canceled that bullshit today. I know that they like, okay, the game's over. Cancel. I mean, you can't. And what a shit app. Like, CBS All Access is crap. I don't. Not only do I not watch any of the shows, there's nothing on right now that on CBS that you're like, you know, am I going to miss 60 Minutes? Am I okay with that? I am okay with that. But it's just, the streaming quality was terrible. Probably because everybody in the country had it. You know, we all downloaded it, and you know, they weren't prepared, and they should have been prepared. It's not like it's just your average football game on a Sunday. It's the game. You'd think they'd be ready for the game, but nope. No, they weren't. But I hope you enjoyed your Super Bowl or your version of it, whether you watch the Puppy Bowl or you watch some other shit, whatever, you know, excuse that you used to cook something and eat garbage. I had a good time. There's something I'm not too concerned about it because my wife is going to take care of. She's very thorough, so she's actually going to do a dry run on our taxes for both married filed jointly versus married filed separately. And it's an interesting. I think we're going to go separately because she's going to get money and I fucking owe money. And I've already kind of done a test run to kind of see how much I have to pay, and I've got it. So I'm not worried. I was really concerned about it because it's like had to do with unemployment that I didn't save money for. I mean, I kind of did, but really didn't. So I was kind of worried about that, but it turned out to be all right. But here's what irritates me is when you Google and you look up the difference why you would file jointly versus separately. And it lists like some advantages of filing jointly, but it has to do with adoption or with childcare or with some write-off stuff, like all of this stuff that doesn't like home ownership, I think all of this stuff that doesn't apply to me, apply to us in our situation. So what it says is one advantage, and I'm paraphrasing, but one advantage is that you, when you file separately, you have to do it. You get a standard deduction of $12,400. But when you file jointly, that standard deduction is $24,800. Like that's a bonus. Like, hey, here's an advantage. Your deduction is times two of what the deduction would be for one person. Yeah, you're filing jointly. Yeah, 12,400 times 2 is in fact 24,800. That's really what it is. That's not an advantage. It's like, hey, you know, this Coca-Cola is $1.99, but if you buy 2, it's $1.99 times 2. It's like, oh, it's 2 for $4. No shit. Really? That's swell. How much for 3? Well, yeah, so that, I don't understand that. I even called my mom and she's like, I haven't done my taxes in 20 years. Okay, thanks, Mom. Appreciate it. What I think we're going to do is, after we do the dry run, I think we're going to file it separately so she can get her fucking money like right away so she can spend it. And then I'll wait till the last minute to see if, you know, there are any kind of like waivers or anything that happens between now and April, middle of April, whenever the tax day is. Because this is the first time I'll ever have to pay. I always like claim zero and I always am given money. So this is unusual for me. This, you know, I normally have my taxes done by January 30th. Like, I'm just like done. I'm like, I put me first in line for the money. And I'd like my money, please. But this is the first time I'm like, since I've ever paid, you know, ever filed for taxes, that I'm not going to get, that I owe money. So it's very much a, oh, how long can I put this off for? Oh, that long? Yeah, let's do that. We're gonna just ride it out. That's my thing. In a related, it's not related. It's kind of related. Eventually. Stay with me if you can. About being married. Okay, so death isn't funny necessarily. And I'm not laughing, although it did. There's a guy who died at a baby shower. Because they were celebrating a baby shower at this party in Michigan. And the husband, or the father-to-be, fired a cannon to celebrate, I guess, the, you know, it's a boy or whatever. And the cannon blew up and shrapnel killed one of the guests. It was in his 20s. And that's sad. But when you read that somebody died because a cannon blew up at a baby shower, I immediately started laughing and I felt really shitty about it. But the reason I bring it up is the moral of this story. Well, the obvious moral of the story is maybe don't launch a cannon at a baby shower. Maybe don't have a baby shower. Maybe just send a text to people and go, hey, it's a baby. But I think the moral of the story, other than don't fire a handmade, you know, an illegitimate cannon at a party in a pandemic, I think that the biggest, because it doesn't say it in the article, in the news article. You can look it up, but it doesn't say anywhere. But I think the moral of the story is listen to your wife. For husbands, I think that's what I got out of it the most by reading it. I was sitting there going, I guarantee you this was his idea and she was against it. I guarantee you she goes, no, honey, don't. Let's not fire the cannon. No. It'll be great. Everybody will love it. It'll make a lot of noise. Man, we'll be drunk. It'll be fucking fantastic. Honey, don't fire the cannon. It's going to make people upset. No, I guarantee you it'll go off without a hitch. Don't worry, baby. And that's what I get from it. You should always listen to your wife. Like, that's the, you know, you can, like, resist, sure. Just go to try to argue it a little bit. So if she caves immediately, you can still go, you know what, I think I, you know, that way you can, you know, if you're able to argue your point and she concedes to it, then maybe it is a good point. But if she's hardline on the, maybe don't fire the fucking cannon at our baby shower. At some point you ought to go, yeah, maybe, oh, how about a 21 gun salute? No firearms. All right. Firecrackers? We're in city limits. Okay. How about a banner? And then you settle on the banner. Maybe you have a picture of a cannon on the banner and the words, it's a boy or it's a girl firing out of the cannon. I don't know. Maybe you hire Nick Cannon to bore the shit out of your guests because he's cripplingly unfunny. I don't know. All I'm saying is listen to your wife. I'm not married. Then don't. But for those of you who are, it's probably the way to go. Oh, and if you're gay, I have no idea. Don't ask me. You know. You guys are fine. This is really a dipshit husband in a straight marriage, you know, making poor decisions kind of a deal. You get it. You guys are good. I do want to talk about this, I guess. No, of course I do. I had it written down in my notes. I just didn't know how to jump into it. I hope that you're doing all right. It's going to get here in Austin, Texas. It's going to get really, really cold this week and next week. We may actually have 3 or 4 days of winter. It's crazy. Valentine's Day is coming up. Yay. I read this. I'm interested to see what happens in Oregon as a state. No, just in general. No, I'm interested to see because they, their new law, they decriminalized drugs. That law went into effect. And what that means is that small amounts, they're no longer arresting for possession. And I've got to explain this. You know what? Let me explain decriminalization to you like I'm talking to my mother. I'm not trying to pander to you, but I'm going to do it in a manner of what, like explaining it to my mom who ran our Just Say No club when I was in junior high. Mom, all right. It's not making drugs legal. All drugs are not legal now. It's decriminalization. What they're saying is they're not going to arrest people for possession and put them in prison when they have drug problems. And they might have issues. They're not using possession as an excuse to arrest people that they want to put in jail. Unnecessary incarceration. So what they're doing is, if you've got small amounts, instead of arresting you for possession, what they're doing is they're fining them for $100, or they're doing health assessments to determine addiction counseling and assign certain things like that. So they're trying to, it's the same thing that they're doing in other countries like Portugal, for example, where it's been very successful. And so we're going to see how that goes for them. It sounds like a really good idea, because also in Oregon, weed is legal. So the taxes that they make which are just increasing every year. The taxes that they make off of legalized weed, they've got millions of dollars go into education. They got millions of dollars that go into different programs. And then they'll also, so they cap the different programs and the different, local programs that get the money. And then the rest of it, for starters, is going to go into funding addiction recovery centers. The weed industry is going to pay for these addiction recovery centers for people who get busted, who instead of going to prison are going to go to the, some of these will go to these recovery centers. And that's a, how is that a bad idea? Well, if it's done poorly, it might be, but it's instead of doing the same old bullshit. So I'm really curious as to see how successful this is. Now, Bizarro, Oregon, also known as Idaho, is they're trying to actually pass harder laws against marijuana. Because Idaho's right next to Oregon and they're red as fuck. So it's and Oregon is blue as fuck, right? So it's one of those things that it's that out of spite to overcompensate, they're looking at Oregon and going, God damn, we're going to tighten up. So, man, if you're driving to Oregon to get your weed, you better route correctly and don't drive through the wrong state, I'm guessing. I bet they have like law enforcement just all along that border, like Oregon's, Mexico. Like it's a whole other country. They're just like, go around. But it's such a good idea. It's coming to a different way to take care of a problem that nobody else seems to be trying. And I hope that other states come around to this because it's a really good fucking idea. Especially all the money that they're making from legalized weed. I mean, how do other states not go, come on, guys, let's jump on this gravy train? Whereas other states are like, I don't know, I think we should just rely on the sports gambling. All right. Now, granted, in Oregon, there were two dozen district attorneys who really opposed this law because that's what district attorneys do. They don't like getting rid of any laws, do they? No, their argument was that this law will lead to an increase in acceptability of hard drugs. Shut up, Gary. Come on. What they're saying is district attorneys think that what's separating all of you from doing heroin or meth is jail time. And probation. That if it was legal, you'd be like, yeah, you know what? I will go try heroin now. And it's not for, once again, they're not legalizing the drugs. They're just making sure that small amounts of possession for like personal use, those people don't go to prison for 20 years because they're black, because of racism. But also just in general, that this is not what you do for people who have drug problems. Or people who don't have drug problems. People who just like drugs. But typically, when you're busted, when you get busted for possession, you're not in your right mind. You're not doing responsible drug use. You're out and about causing attention to yourself. And that's how the cops get you. So those are the people that usually have the problems. And so why not come up with a different solution other than why don't you go through withdrawals in a jail cell? Why don't you get a record? And now it's harder to get a job. There you go. But I feel better because I put you away. And fucking district attorneys, man, they don't, you know, they, everybody they see, I mean, their job, their whole job is to look at everybody as being guilty. So, yeah, they're going to object. They're going to object to anything that's possibly, oh, we're going to be lenient or we're going to try something. Like, he's like, nah, we're not pussies. All right, DAs. Not a fan of district attorneys. Could you tell? An increase in acceptability. Yeah, that's what's separating the whole country from doing heroin. It's not the death. It's not the life destruction. It's the possibility that a cop will put you in a jail cell. That's the only reason I haven't put... Yeah, that's why my my mom hasn't put a needle in her arm. Well, I don't want to get in trouble with the law. Otherwise, I'd be shooting up. No. Doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway, let's keep an eye on it. That sounds cool, man. There's a lot of things that Oregon does that I'm like, Jesus Christ, hippies. Like, I get really like, ugh. But that's an interesting one, man. I'm interested to see the success rate and what'll happen. If it's good, you know, trial and error too, whatever they fuck up, it's like, I'm interested to see the next state that does the same program, but tweaked, you know, that's what I'm interested to see. Well, thank you guys for joining me. That's about all I had this week. Hang in there. Take your vitamin D. Take your zinc. Get some sleep. Get some exercise. Don't eat too much garbage. See your friends. Look after each other. And we'll see you next week. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Laban. Later. Bye. Thorn that pierces skin. Come back down to earth again. Creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line. Gotta get away, gotta get away, get away, gotta get away. For the Lord, don't make me stay on.